This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Senate's Select Committee on Tax Reform has revised its bill to repeal the state's personal income tax and replace it with a much broader sales tax on goods and services. The original plan would have resulted in an additional $610 million deficit in the state budget when it was fully implemented in 2021. With some adjustments, state revenue officials worry the bill could still result in a budget deficit down the road. But as Jamara reports, senators are now considering asking the voters to protect their proposed changes by amending West Virginia's constitution.
So let's be real. This is a story about taxes. It's complicated and it contains a lot of numbers, and I know exactly what you're thinking. It's Monday morning, and it's too early for this. Believe me, I feel you, but give me about 5 minutes, and we'll see if we can't make it worth your while. Over the weekend, the Senate Select Committee on Tax Reform unveiled their latest version of a plan to repeal West Virginia's personal income tax. What the new bill doesn't do, though, is repeal the personal income tax, at least not right away.
Beginning January 1st of 2018... We're not eliminating the personal income tax. We're simply changing the rate on the personal income tax from the graduated rate structure that's in place today to a flat rate of 2 points.
He is Deputy Revenue Secretary. He's worked in the state budget office for a long time and was responsible for calculating the bill's impact on state revenues. The first version of the bill would have set the personal income tax at an even lower across-the-board rate, 0.6%. That would have started on January 1st, 2018. It then lowered that rate over the course of 3 years until the tax was completely gone in 2021. But that left an even bigger hole in the state budget, an additional $610 million by the time it fully took effect. A new committee substitute doesn't do that anymore. Like Mukow said, the new bill sets the across-the-board income tax rate for West Virginians at a little less than 3%, starting in 2018. That rate is then triggered to reduce by 0.1% per year if, and only if, West Virginia brings in more than $2.5 billion in revenue from a new sales tax. But in 2023, the bill says the state will phase out the personal income tax no matter how well West Virginia is doing financially. A full repeal would happen in 2032. Mukow explains in the meantime, to make up for the loss of revenue,
October 1st to 17, the current sales tax will go away and be replaced by the new consumption tax at a rate of 8%.
So the average West Virginian would be paying an 8% sales tax on the things they're already buying. But the tax would also be added to things that are currently exempt. You'll pay an 8% tax on your groceries, your utilities, when you get a haircut or join a gym. So under this version of the bill, for 3 months this year, West Virginians will see a fairly significant increase in the overall taxes they pay from October to January. Senate President Mitch Carmichael says that's because there is still some level of uncertainty that the plan will actually work, not with Republican members of the committee, but with revenue officials like Mukow.
For 3 months, you might say, yeah, I have to transition period of time to make certain that the numbers we put forth are backfilling reductions in the income tax and making sure that we have the plan put together.
The result of that overlap, though, according to Mukow, is a surplus in the 2018 budget, the budget that currently has a $497 million hole in it. But in 2023, when the personal income tax would begin to phase out, Mukow says state revenues would almost immediately come up short. He predicts they could be as much as $2 billion short in 2032, when the income tax goes away completely. Senator Robert Carnes chairs the Select Committee and is the lead sponsor of the reform bill. He says while he doesn't agree with Mukow's numbers, that's also why they've made sure the bill is flexible, so the rates could be changed to avoid a budget deficit.
Because if we do this in here,
he pointed to the new committee substitute,
And we get 2 or 3 years in and say, hey, you know what, the growth just isn't happening, well, we can make adjustments. We've already shown that this bill, as it was originally drafted, is very flexible. It was designed to be flexible. It can be very flexible. The step downs, for example, could be adjusted in out years to say, oh, we're going to lose too much revenue. So instead of stepping down, you know, 0.27% every year, we could step down 0.17% or whatever we need to do in order to make it work in those out years.
Now, if all of that wasn't enough, if all the numbers and the dates and the policy changes didn't already confuse you, there's also this. Republican Senate leaders say they'll propose a constitutional amendment to protect the changes made in this bill from future legislatures.
What will happen is we can do this, but obviously another legislature 2 years from now or 10 years from now could undo this. So in part, the amendment's purpose is to say, okay, we've done this. Now let's lock it in. Of course,
that amendment won't be exclusive to the income and sales tax changes, though. MUCO has made it clear in committee that one of the biggest problems with West Virginia's current tax structure is the low property tax rate, the rate businesses pay on equipment and citizens pay on their vehicles, for example. That's combined with also low real property taxes, which are homes and office space and other actual buildings. Those rates, which are well below the national average, are protected by the West Virginia Constitution, so lawmakers can't change them without a vote of the people, which is exactly what they want to do. Repeal the personal property tax, raise the real estate tax, and protect their income tax repeal and consumption tax hike by a vote of the people on a constitutional amendment.
Of course, it doesn't mean it can never be changed, because obviously we're amending the Constitution, and even a future legislature could propose that yet again. But it's a little bit higher hurdle than simply passing another law and, you know, changing things around the edges. So if this is worth doing, it's worth trying to make it difficult to undo.
The tax reform bill also makes changes to the severance tax and corporate net income tax, and the constitutional amendment hasn't even been introduced for lawmakers to consider. But that's my 5 minutes. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
For more information or for a more detailed breakdown of the Senate's latest tax reform plan, head over to our website, wvpublic.org. Former Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders attempted to shine a light on poverty in Middle America this weekend with a stop in West Virginia. Sanders held a town hall in McDowell County for an MSNBC taping of All In with Chris Hayes. For about 2 hours, Sanders, Hayes, panelists, and a crowd of about 350 discussed issues affecting the area, which Sanders says is a microcosm of rural America. Dave Mistich attended the event and brings us this report.
The event was originally scheduled for February at the National Guard Armory in McDowell County, but was abruptly canceled. Representatives of the state said the U.S. Department of Defense prohibits the use of military buildings for political or campaign purposes. When All In host Chris Hayes opened the show, he asked the crowd if McDowell County was Trump country. The crowd reacted with a disapproving and collective no. Others in the crowd murmured words like, unfortunately. In reality, Trump took 74% of the vote in McDowell County in the November election and handily won West Virginia as a whole. But Sanders' sustained popularity in the area is a result of his 2016 campaign stop at a local food bank and his consistent efforts on the trail to bring light to the issues facing many in the community. Few jobs, poverty, and a lack of access to education. He took more than 55% of McDowell County's vote in West Virginia's May 2016 primary, beating out the inevitable Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton in all of the state's 55 counties. Hayes, Sanders, and a group of more than a dozen panelists discussed a wide range of issues Sunday, touching on everything from a sluggish coal economy to health care, education, and infrastructure. Issues they say aren't exclusive to McDowell County, but are relevant in rural communities across the country. While MSNBC did not allow other media to record audio or video, Sanders told reporters after the event the most powerful moment for him was when Hayes asked the crowd if anyone had been personally affected by the opioid crisis. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, McDowell has the highest rate of drug-induced deaths in the country, at 141 per 100,000 people.
I mean, the degree, when I saw so many hands went up, for people who had lost loved ones as a result of the opiate crisis. That is just chilling. That is just incredible. This is an epidemic, and it's, by the way, again, not just in West Virginia. It exists in Vermont, and we have got to get a handle on it in a number of ways. We need more treatment, but also we need to give the young people opportunities so that drugs are not what they are seeking out.
Delegate Ed Evans of McDowell County was a member of the panel. Despite being a Democrat, Evans says he voted for Trump because of his promise to revive the coal industry. During the taping, Evans said he doesn't believe Trump will focus on the opioid crisis and help bring an addiction treatment center to the area that's been so stricken by the problem. Evans says that, because of coal's rich past, government should be looking to help his county. one that's given America so much in the past.
Dow County doesn't need to be left out. We need to be included, you know?
Right.
We need drug rehab. We need it so bad. We need jobs. We need infrastructure. We need drinking water that's clean. We need housing. There are so many things. West Virginia was built on the backs of McDowell County coal miners. Now, whether people believe that or not, it's true. This was the billion-dollar coal fields. The coal that came out of here that made the steel across America, the tanks for the war, you know, the best metallurgical coal in America.
Following the taping, Hayes also spoke to reporters, saying that his hope for the town hall was to shine a light on issues affecting McDowell County, but also to show that the same problems exist elsewhere.
In the city of New York, in the borough of Staten Island, the opioid crisis is intense and severe and acute, and it's got people spinning their heads around in the same way it does here, right? So things that are happening here, whether it's people's economic struggles or whether it's people's healthcare struggles, like those are applicable. And I think part of the idea is, in America right now, in the political conversation we have with each other a lot, we tend to reduce places to stereotypes, and part of what we're trying to do is get past that.
Sunday's event was taped for an hour-long special episode of MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes. It airs tonight at 8 p.m. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in McDowell County.
We've heard the statistics on the region's heroin crisis and how many have fallen into addiction. But one person's story can tell a lot about what it takes to get out. Wendy Kreitz is a single mom and a recovering addict. A year ago, she was in jail. Now she's in a treatment program at the Jefferson Day Report Center in West Virginia. That program is supported by the Affordable Care Act. As part of our occasional series on the Act, the Ohio Valley Resource explores how the law expanded substance abuse treatment for thousands, including Wendy Kreitz. Producers Glennis Board and Rebecca Kiger bring us the story of Kreitz's struggle for sobriety, told in her own words.
I am Wendy Kreitz. We're in the Daily Report vehicle in Charlestown. Yeah, people look down on people like us. Really, I mean, everybody has some kind of addiction. I believe it's that hole everybody has in their heart, that void that you're trying to fill. And I've looked for it, or I found it in drugs. And as long as you're getting high, you know, it fills it until the drugs are gone, and then it's back. So I just think that's something only God can do. And I think He uses our weaknesses to bring us to Him. I have an awesome son. He's 12, and I swear I think God speaks to me through him sometimes. He is the sweetest child you ever meet. Just love him. Half of his life he saw me be strung out on drugs, so he's getting ready to be a teenager, and I just want to be a good role model for him. It's getting colder and colder out here. I don't even want to go outside when it's cold out, especially when the wind's blowing, but I do it. I walk or I ride the bike to work every morning. Okay, we are at Martin Luther King Boulevard. I rent a room here. This is my room. I work at McDonald's. On Tuesdays, I gotta be there at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I leave at 3:30. So I get up at 1 o'clock. I give myself 2 hours to spend with God.
A lot of the people that hurt you, honestly and truly, they really don't set out to.
I'll listen to some worship music. Not by power, but by the Spirit of God. I'm happy to be alive. Came so many times close to death. I hated myself. I felt ashamed. I walked around guilty, ashamed. I couldn't even look anybody in the eye because I felt so ashamed and dirty. So between the meetings, the counseling, the Suboxone, and God, I'm finally in a place where I'm sorry. The program saved me.
Join us for the second part of that report tomorrow at 7:41 on West Virginia Morning.